1-1. Pitch is swung on, crack, deep center field. Rafaela chasing right center gap. He leaps. It is off the wall. It skips away. Anthony's got to get it as the run scores. Anthony fires the third. One hop. It is not in time, and they've realized it's a home run. Moore slides into third. Now he gets up as the fireworks display takes its time. He steps on the plate. And for the moment, they will wait and look at it. It's a walk-off two-run home run for Christian Moore.
Stay up for that last night, Keith?
Oh, sure did. Sure did.
I don't
drinking that one in.
Honestly, them trading away Devers and me being so invested on them being better without Devers and like wanting it to happen and willing it to happen.
I was enjoying most of the game, actually, because there was Garrett Crochet was dealing, and then Marcelo Meyer was like the lone offensive bright spot.
Yeah.
So you're like, all right, there's something here. And then as soon as he leaves the game, and then it was also crazy to realize the game actually was less than 3 hours.
Oh, it was flying.
But
it's so late.
Yeah, no,
so I'm saying,
if was it 12:30 it ended?
If they hadn't traded Devers, I don't know that I'd be staying up for that necessarily.
Yeah.
I would have watched the beginning of it with Crochet. I don't know that I would have made it till the end. And even in this scenario, I was starting to nod off on the first home run. Like, I was starting to doze off, and then I hear the thing get parked, and TV wakes me up.
Like, huh, what?
I'm like, okay, I'm back in. And so I watched till the end, and it's just there's something to be said about watching the Red Sox anyway, and just, like, living with the experience and watching them when they start at 7:10.
Yeah.
That's already bad enough. They already kick you in the nuts bad enough for some of those games. When they're doing it to you at midnight and 12:30,
brutal,
and they're doing it night after night after night on a West Coast trip, it's extra bad.
They don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand
it's true.
That?
It's true. I am, again, understanding more and more by the day.
It is a day game today, though.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it's a day
so
game.
So at least I don't have to stay up late for that.
Yeah. Lineup's out. Lineup is out.
Oh. You want the lineup?
Yeah.
You want the lineup?
Hang on. I know it's a lefty on the bump.
It's on the hill for the opposing side.
Okay, it's Yusei.
Do you want to guess the lineup? Play a little
Kikuchi.
Game called Guess the Lineup?
Yeah, should I?
Yeah, let's play everybody's favorite game, Guess the Lineup.
Or do we want a Bulls music, Keith reading it?
yeah,
that's what Nick. Yeah, that's what Nick wants to do.
Leading off, your designated hitter. Eater of lefties, Rob Refsnyder.
He does crush lefties, that's true.
Batting second.
Not last night.
Batting second, having a down year, Jaron Duran.
Ooh.
Left field.
Two hole against a lefty.
Batting third, another eater of lefties, first baseman, Romy Gonzalez.
Again, crushes lefties, not last night, but yes, does in general.
Behind the plate, your all-star catcher, Carlos Narvaez.
Just when Wong's getting hot.
Yeah. In right field, a lefty who usually gets pinch hit for late in games, Willier Abreu.
Five, huh?
Batting six, the shortstop, Trevor, this is a bad story. In center field, Seydon Rafaela.
Loves facing the Angels.
Batting eighth, the second baseman, Marcelo Meyer.
Again at second.
Was a double and dong short of the cycle last night.
Track it all week.
And batting second leadoff at the hot corner. Doesn't have his first name listed. I believe it's Nate Eaton.
All right, so
taking a stab at that, Nate Eaton.
No Roman Anthony.
And your pitcher, Richard Fitz. Warming up in the bullpen right now, Richard Fitz. That sounds like a loss, let's be honest.
That's a bad
loss. If you were going to win-loss these things, it would probably be a loss.
Why are they playing? I get that Bregman's eventually going to come back. Why are they playing this Eaton kid at third and moving Marcelo Meyer? I didn't get that last
night. They're giving him games. So when Bregman comes back, Marcelo Meyer's going to be at second base. They're also giving Roman Anthony the night off.
Yeah.
He had the 0 for 5 last night. A couple right on the screws, though. A couple 1-2 on the screws.
Well, one on the screws.
Yeah, one on the screws.
He also drew a walk. I got to hear about how good his at bats are every
night. He is hitting 114. He is now up to or down to 114.
It's triple digits.
Well, he's up to
114. Yeah, he was sitting 73 the other week. He's up to 114.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay.
That's a good point.
So he's off today, and it's an off day tomorrow, so he's going to get 48 hours down.
That could help him. That could unlock him for the weekend series.
It for sure will.
That is not a great lineup.
Refsnyder, Duran, Romy.
Yeah.
Narvaez.
Yeah. Willier. Story, Rafaela, Meyer.
Again,
had all your offense and a nice slide at home.
And Nate.
Really nice slide. And then Nate Eaton.
I mean, I don't love it.
You want to do
it's only to avoid a sweep against the Angels.
An Eaton? Rushmore?
Well, Adam Eaton.
Mark Eaton.
Mark Eaton.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
great one.
Nate Eaton.
And a top five all-time Hoss. Mark Eaton might be in the Haas conversation for all-time Haases for tomorrow for Friday's Top 5 Friday Haases.
Can we commit to that? Are we doing all-time Haases tomorrow? Top 5
I have a couple that I'm going to save them.
Not tomorrow.
Oh, no, Friday.
Yeah.
What's tomorrow?
Did you say tomorrow or did I say tomorrow? Who said tomorrow?
You said tomorrow.
That was me, sorry. Yep. On Friday.
Wait, he confused himself?
who said that? you did. You just said that.
Yeah, right.
So Adam Eaton, Mark Eaton, Nate Eaton. That might be it. We have an open spot.
No, we're missing another one. Wasn't there another pitcher? Or a pitcher?
Was there another pitcher named Eaton?
No,
was Adam Eaton the pitcher? Was good.
Who's the outfielder for the White Sox?
There was a Zeb Eaton, played 2 years in the 40s. It was Zeb. Adam Eaton. There's two Adam Eatons, which is confusing.
Wait, so there's a pitcher? Yeah, a pitcher and an outfielder. They're both named Adam Eaton?
I was thinking the outfielder.
Okay.
The outfielder was pretty good.
And there was the pitcher.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go.
There you go. Figured that out.
But again, we agreed. Bad lineup.
Twitch chat wants to know if Eaton Thomas, which looks like Eaton, is that eligible?
Syracuse.
He'd block your shot.
He would.
You get in the lane on Eaton Thomas?
Yeah.
See you later.
Nice try.
Yeah, not tonight.
Yeah, he'll send it right out. First row. You don't want that.
He was a bust of a lottery pick, I believe.
Lottery pick?
I think he was a lottery pick.
Oh, man.
Lottery pick. 5 or 6. I think it was. Let's see. 12th pick in the draft.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's where Brad's hoping to trade up to that territory. To
5 or 6.
7 or 8. Good call.
Get the next Eaton Thomas if he could.
Can you guys do a favorite current SNL cast member for grab bag?
Current.
I'd have to look at the list.
Marcelo Hernandez?
Is Keenan Thompson still on it?
Oh, definitely.
Then Keenan.
Yeah. Keenan's been there.
Give me Keenan.
I've heard.
It's like Mooney and Bennett. Those guys are all gone, right, Bill?
Yeah. I've heard the theory of he stays there because they don't make movies like they used to. You don't go to your next phase like a Sandler or somebody would, right?
Well, they also don't
like,
fire
does that typically
you.
Happen?
Yeah, but like back in the day, those guys, and Billy would know because he listens to the Carvey Spade podcast, but they wouldn't let them do commercials. They could only film movies around the schedule, so it was like really difficult.
Right, they were flying in and out to Toronto to do Tommy
Boy. They were super rigid, and they've loosened the reins.
You can't miss a show, whereas now they're like, oh, you had a TV show to do? Great. Like, you have a movie to do? Or they're all in commercials. Like, go ahead, do all that stuff.
Yeah, Dana Carvey talks about having to turn down a Super Bowl Pepsi commercial because they wouldn't let him do it.
Like, that was from like 40 years ago. He still brings it up because they probably were like, here's like $1 million to do this commercial. And Lorne Michaels like, well, no.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Meanwhile, Keenan's in like 50 commercials.
Keenan can do whatever he wants. And he does.
I just
like,
saw him pumping, I think, hot blood pressure meds, I think it was.
Oh, yeah. He can sell it to you. Keenan also is a voice actor in a lot of things. He was in one of the Trolls movies because CeCe Beans is obsessed with Trolls.
He's Tiny Diamond.
He's Tiny Diamond.
Yeah,
good call.
Yeah.
Good pull.
He's in one of the Grinches.
He is.
Yeah.
He's good in the Grinch.
He's great in the Grinch.
That's a good Grinch movie.
I like that Grinch.
Me too. Benedict Cumberbatch.
If I ask my kid which Grinch he wants to watch, that's the Grinch he picks.
Same.
Not the cartoon, not the Jim Carrey
the
one.
The Jim Carrey one, I think, horrifies the family. Nobody wants that.
I've actually never seen that.
I've seen it. It's odd.
Yeah.
It's odd. But no, the new one's pretty good. But yeah, I don't know current cast members. That's tough.
Chad Eaton
for the Patriots.
Yeah.
Put him on
good
the
player.
List.
Oh, this is a good one, too. Text line. If you're in Rhode Island, Bess Eaton Donuts. You ever heard of Bess Eaton?
I haven't.
I am aware of Bess
I love
Eaton.
Donuts, though.
My aunt and uncle are in Narragansett.
Right, Bess
Eaton. There used to be one right in Narragansett.
All right.
Or I'm sorry, maybe Wakefield. Bess Eaton.
Sick brag, bro.
Okay, there you go. Alex P. Keaton does not count. We said Eaton.
Alex P. Keaton.
Good try, though.
Mikey Day's still on the cast.
Mikey Day's there.
He's pretty funny. Chloe Feynman, Heidi Gardner.
I'm still waiting for the
I know more of these people than I thought.
It's about that time where
Marcelo Hernandez. Say it again.
It's about the time where we find out who isn't coming back.
Yeah.
That's true. They end up firing a few people or whatever.
Well, it's not even fire. It's like people leave.
Yeah. Can you count Colin Jost and Michael Che?
They're technically on the cast.
All right.
That counts.
617-779-7937. We were talking another wasted start for Garrett Crochet.
He was great.
Like, we used to talk about this, or I remember the discussion about it. Not that we were on the air at the time, Keith, but Pedro, it's like the team would get tight during Pedro starts. Do you feel like some of that's going on with Crochet? Not that the offense has been lights out, but they scored 5 and 5 the last couple of games. Then Crochet gets out there. They can't score. They can't hit. They can't do anything. And the second Crochet gets out of the game, they blow the lead and they lose the game. Like, do we feel like there's a tightness when he's out there?
Yeah, like sometimes, yeah, maybe that's what it is. Sometimes it's a pitcher that just has bad luck all season, and there's a pitcher who has good luck all season. Like, there were years where, like, I think Rick Porcello was, like, on either side of it. Like, he had all the run support, then he had, like, none of the run support. But if you look at it, over the last several starts, they haven't scored. They did score when he faced the Yankees. They scored a bunch of runs for him. And when he faced the Royals back in May, they scored a million runs. But other than that, they really haven't scored much. I mean, you look at the score. So they lose in extra innings yesterday, but he leaves the game. It's 1-0. The game against Seattle, they beat him 3-1. The game against the Yankees, where he got a no decision, they won 2-1 in extra innings. So once again, they didn't even score runs in nine.
And
so
he didn't get the win in that because he gave up the late bomb to Aaron Judge.
Correct. But so he had no room for error in that game at all. So yeah, there definitely is something to that. Now they had won at least they had won four straight starts of his. Until yesterday, it should have been five in a row, especially with everything going around. They had lost three straight games. You needed this guy. You got Richard Fitz coming back today. He hasn't pitched at the major league level in a little while. They needed to win series. They've already lost the series. They now are going to avoid the sweep, but that's brutal. They really are wasting one of the great seasons so far for a starting pitcher. Leads the majors in innings and strikeouts.
You said this earlier in the program, but it's wild they could add Crochet. They could add a guy like Bregman. At least Bregman's been hurt. Maybe that's a little
right.
more understandable. And Chapman, and somehow they're worse than they were.
They're worse. And even Bregman, their record was pretty much the same.
Yeah. And they were never lighting it up. They were okay in April. Above 500 in April, but they've never been lighting it up with him or without him.
Yeah, we'll give you a Cy Young candidate, and we'll upgrade your closer, and we'll give you a better defensive third baseman who is also hitting a little bit, and you're worse. Under 500. Last year, they kind of surprised, and they were in it longer than most people thought, because coming off of consecutive last-place finishes and looking at the roster on paper, they didn't really do a ton in the offseason. Going into last year, I mean, you're like, this team isn't going to be much. And then you're like, actually, they're kind of hanging around, maybe add to the team, which they did, but all the guys they added were useless, and then they kind of went in a tailspin by the end of the year. But, yeah, I mean, we all thought they were going to be better than they were this year, but there's been a whole bunch of different reasons why they haven't been.
Speaking of Alex Bregman, this was on the broadcast last night.
Yeah.
Will highlighted this on the broadcast. I think it was Tim Healy of the Globe passed along some comments from Scott Boras. Will kind of summarized them last night, but basically they're open to an extension.
Boston Globe's great Tim Healy was down there talking to Boras through the netting, and now we know why, and I'm very happy he asked this question. Of Scott. Apparently, Alex Bregman wide open to contract renegotiations with the Red Sox. I think it was always going to be the case, but particularly once they moved on from Raffy, it's not that hard to see that it's Meyer and Anthony and Campbell, but in the medium term, this is going to be Alex Bregman's team.
I love Bregman. I wanted him this offseason.
I wish he was playing.
I want him in place of Devers. I wish he were out there right now. I'm not ripping up the contract and giving him any.
No, I think it's pretty compelling for him to come back for $41 million or whatever it is next year. I don't think you need to do too much more of a sales pitch.
Me either.
Signed that deal. He turned down a bunch of other deals. Teams wanted him last year. This is the one that he chose. He's having a good year, but he's hurt. And, I mean, hell, even if he won the MVP, there might be some thought of $41 million. But he's not going to be the MVP. We'll see what he looks like when he gets back.
He's not going to get more by opting out.
I don't think so. If he got a longer term deal.
If he wanted to, right, maybe that. And if he want, but even still, he was hurt this year. He did not have what I would consider a robust market this offseason. He effectively took a 1-year deal. So he's hurt. He's another year older. If he was willing to take less just to get out of Boston, well, I guess that's one thing, but he's not going to opt out and get more money.
Because how many years is he looking for?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, last year he turned down a 5 and I think a 6-year deal, right?
They put out more years from Detroit. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's 31 right now. So when a team goes to sign him for next year, how many years is he getting?
Five or six.
I don't know if he's getting a 5 or 6 year deal now.
No. And I think this is just, what else is Boras going to say? No, we don't want a contract?
Right, of course.
So I really think it's more that. This is what makes Boras a good agent. He's just if they want to talk deal, of course we'll talk deal. You want to give us a 10-year contract? Of course we're going to talk it up. But if I'm the Red Sox, I'd call their bluff. They're not opting out. He's not going anywhere. Oh, he wants to win. He'll go somewhere else and opt out this year and leave money on the table. Go ahead and prove it. I don't buy it for 1 second.
The guy just suffered an injury that he had suffered before. He's already missed 20 games and counting, whatever it is. So, yeah, I don't know. He was really good when he was out there. That helps. But also part of it was, as a lot of people pointed out, he has really good numbers in Fenway Park. His whole thing, swing, everything.
I usually roll my eyes at the Fenway swing commentary, but it was accurate here. Yeah,
but it seems to be working out for Bregman.
Meanwhile, McAdam on the Fenway Rundown podcast with Chris Cotillo pretty quickly brushes aside the idea of trading Alex Bregman. Passan yesterday or the day before had a list of the top 50 trade candidates. Bregman was number one, although he acknowledged it was low odds he would move 10%.
But a lot of teams will be interested.
Yep. Duran was also on that list. So McAdam kind of brushes aside Bregman, but does expand on the availability of Duran.
I see next to no chance of Bregman being dealt. I see there being a decent chance that Duran goes, and here's why. And by the way, trading Duran would not be a white flag, oh, we're in sell and auction mode. I think they would be looking for some immediate help. We know that there is already a crowded outfield situation. Sidan Rafaela has, I think, earned his time and retains his spot in center field. Abreu is someone they don't want to give up, a Gold Glove winner who is still getting better offensively, and Roman Anthony. You can't have those four outfielders on the team and keep them all happy with playing time and or develop Anthony at the big league level.
Right.
So the notion of Duran being traded would not surprise me in the least. I don't think it would represent any sort of we're out, we're auctioning, there's a fire sale. I think it would be done sort of in advance of a trade that they would otherwise make in the offseason with an eye toward trying to get better over the final 2 months.
I get Sean's point. I mean, right now you have four outfielders, not that they're all hitting the cover off it by any means. Look at Roman Anthony, but you have four outfielders that you probably think are young players that should play every single day. And if they don't want to move Sadon Rafaela to, say, second base where he can play.
Which we both are more.
I would do that.
Well, but we're both more on board with that than we were a couple of weeks ago. Like, Rafaela largely hitting. I thought of him as a utility guy as of a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I get him being an everyday player in the outfield a little more.
But then you run into the thing of, all right, is that just a stopgap? Because at some point you want Christian Campbell to be back at the Major League Club, whether it's this year or next year. So let's just say you have to move on from one of your four outfielders. Jaron Duran, even though he's having a bad season, like, is he the best of the group? Roman Anthony projects to be the best of the group. But now, is Duran the best player? He's having a bad year. Last year he was, and it wasn't even close.
I would say he is having a bad year, but I still believe he's the best out of that group present day, yes.
But so if I had to trade one of them, personally, I would trade Willier Abreu. But if you're going down the road of trading Jaron Duran, maybe you get more for him, which is one of the reasons to do it. And you need to get players that can help this team this year. Otherwise, it is what Sean McAdam was saying. It isn't, which is a white flag. If you walk away from Devers and Duran and you return no players that help your current roster,
big league roster,
how else are we supposed to view that?
Yeah.
That is punting on this season. It's saving money and punting on the season. Because at least with Devers, it was a clubhouse thing, right? There was all this other stuff going on. By all accounts, the players on the team like Duran. But you're not paying him a lot of money. So John Henry, I would think, has no problem with Jaron Duran. So that would have to be some sort of baseball trade. And there are definitely names and players out there that if you got, you'd be like, okay, that's good. But then there are plenty of others. And if it's just, well, it's the number three prospect in the system, I'm like, I don't want that guy.
I don't. Yeah, they have enough prospects. Yeah, they have a bunch of young guys who just graduated from prospects, right? Yeah. A bunch of them are probably technically still prospects. And Campbell and Meyer and Anthony. And they're all here and none of them are doing anything. So I don't want to deal Duran for prospects. That would be waving the white flag. I agree with you on that.
I don't know
that.
If this is a positive or a negative, but so it's like Willier Abreu projects as a 20-plus home run guy. Jaron Duran was eighth in the MVP last year.
Right.
Roman Anthony projects as like an MVP of the league. And Sadon Rafaela is like a Gold Glove center fielder.
I don't like.
20 home runs really isn't anything.
No.
Also.
And Nick said this, if you just took away his Texas series, the pace he's on is horrendous. Just the first four games of the year, take away his Texas series.
132 games last year, he had 15 home runs.
Yeah. So, look, I'm not telling you Abreu is a bad player. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But I trade him way before I trade Duran. Unless you're telling me there's stuff behind the scenes I don't know about. Or unless you're telling me what you just said, Keith, you get a massive return for him.
How many guys hit 20 home runs last year?
Gilbert or Kirby or somebody like that for Duran, and it balances my team out and I can play the guys I want to play in the outfield every day? Fine, maybe. How many guys hit 20 home runs
question.
Last year?
Seven! No, trivia question. Higher than seven. Just 20 dongs, 2024 season.
40. How many players are in baseball?
40.
You think 40 guys?
Yeah, is that too low?
It's way too low.
75. 50.
No, it's low.
75 is low?
Yeah.
220.
Oh, man.
That's high. It's in between those numbers.
How many?
90.
That's a lot.
90 guys hit 20 tater tots. So, I mean, by saying somebody
40 in retrospect is a real low.
40? I mean, let's see.
I mean, just on the Red Sox did it last year.
23 hit 30.
Yeah.
And then only 4 hit 40.
Last year, 2, Tyler O'Neill and Devers. Were those the two that hit over 20?
Oh, no. There were
3. On the team?
It was O'Neill, Devers, Duran.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Duran.
Yeah, Duran did have a 20 home run season.
Yeah, there's only 7 home runs separating those two, but Devers is a generational
and
player.
Only 2 guys hit 50. And then this year, probably one's going to hit 60, and he goes by the name Big Dumper.
Big Dumper.
60, that's low.
Yeah, well, he's pretty.
Wow, why are you such a. Why, first, you hate Baker Mayfield, now you hate the Big Dumper? What's
no,
wrong
I'm just
you?
Saying his pace right now is 66.
Yeah, so he's low.
Well, 60. That was the number. 50. I was counting by tens, is what I was doing there.
Yeah,
sounds
so
like you rounded down.
I would consider moving Abreu before Duran, but it all depends on the return. Duran, by no means, is untradeable, but I'm not sitting here today telling you I'm itching to move him off the team. But the Red Sox may disagree, and McAdams certainly seems to think he could move. That wouldn't represent waving the white flag 2 days in a row. Earlier this week, it was The Athletic and it was ESPN. They had him 1 and 2,
yeah,
on their available names at the trade deadline. 617-779-7937. Coming up at 2 o'clock, you got WEEI Afternoons. You got Hart. You got Fitzy. I think you have Ted. He was out yesterday.
All right.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Andy Hart had a nice humble brag tweet, Keith. I don't know if you saw this.
Yeah, he might be a part of our brag of the week this week, too. I got a good, yeah.
Brag of the week, this tweet?
No.
Oh, okay.
Something he said on the air. But what is your tweet?
He's bragging about the noontime 92-degree run, he says, became worse with every step. But the good news, he said, well, maybe not for all of you, is that I survived.
He
what a hardo.
Yeah, hardo is putting
not
it
all
lightly.
Heroes wear capes.
No. That's true. But he was also the one in here yesterday being like, I'd much rather be hot than cold. Yeah. Like you.
Yeah.
Well, and then now he's like, oh, this is a huge mistake.
Appreciate being lumped in.
I never should have done this run. 90, it's like, yeah, I could have told you that.
92-degree run. Oh, yeah, run earlier. Well,
you
run,
you run, had a run earlier?
No, I said, why doesn't he run earlier is what I'm saying. Why don't you wait till noon to run?
He's probably hungover.
Don't you have show prep?
Probably hammered drunk.
We only have an hour show today, so.
Oh, they got a quick show.
Yeah, quick program. That's why. There it is.
Well,
all right.
It's still important.
So was he working from home?
Tweet brag of the week. New category.
I don't know.
I haven't seen our
tweet brag. Here's his on-air brag. Here's his tweet brag. Here's what he said to me in the hallway brag.
Be here all day. We know what people's brags
on-air brag, off-air brag, tweet brag. Yeah. All from Andy Hart.
That's good.
They come your way at 2 o'clock. We also have the clip du jour, Billy Lanny, with all the latest in trending. And when we come back, it's time for Grab.
Wait a minute.